It's time for Twig This Week at Google. What a wild show we had this week. Jeff and Gina are here. We're going to talk about the thing I can't talk about. Maybe the Pope will tweet and give me an indulgence. We'll talk about that, too. And why German tourists should never be allowed in Paris. It's all coming up next. Yes, it is on Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com.
This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 207, recorded July 17th, 2013. The Silence of the Leo. This Week at Google is brought to you by LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but provides self-help services at your direction, like affordable business and personal documents you could trust. Visit LegalZoom.com and use the offer code TWIG to get $10 off at checkout. And by 99designs, the world's largest graphic design marketplace. 99designs connects businesses seeking quality, affordable designs with a community of over 200,000 graphic designers. Visit 99designs.com/twig to get a free design consultation. It's time for Twig This Week in Google! Ladies and gentlemen, I give you your This Week in Googlers. On the left, Ms. Gina Trapani of smarterware.org, lifehacker.com, founding editor, and I keep forgetting, a columnist for Fast Company.
No more. Well, occasionally, but not as much anymore.
I just read a column from you about eating frogs in the morning for breakfast.
Oh, somehow that came up again. I had written that actually a really long time ago.
No kidding.
And got some steam online, yeah, and on Twitter. Yeah, that was a while ago.
That's so weird.
Hey, evergreen. I like it.
I'm getting that a lot with these social news sources. Like I use Prismatic, which I love. Mm-hmm. But I'm getting sometimes 2 or 3 year old articles.
Yeah, I've gotten a few people mentioning, saying like, oh, hey, thanks for this article. And it's like, wow, I wrote that a while ago.
Well, that's, but hey, I'll take it. This is annoying.
Sure.
Also here, Jeff Jarvis, who is birthdayized with his Google Peacock. Peacock. I can't. You know, forever after, I'm going to think Peacock when people tilt their head with Google.
Well, and now the great thing is we now know it could have been Peacock.
It totally could have been. No, it couldn't. Because you can't say your Wi-Fi password. Right? Yet.
Right.
How do you like your glass? Still liking it?
I'm enjoying the laughs I get when I demonstrate it.
How about you, Gina? I don't see you wearing it.
I don't wear it when I'm sitting at my computer, but I do wear it when I go out on the weekends. In fact, I was just at San Diego Pride this past weekend, and I had them on. And actually, LaToya Jackson was there, random. She was one of the parade leaders, and so I snapped a quick picture of her, and she had a little entourage. She was in a golf cart, and there were all these cameras and stuff. But I generally, I take it out. We went to the county fair. If I go for a walk, if we go down to the beach, I'll take pictures. But if I'm sitting in front of my computer, I don't have it on because
I don't have the nerve to wear it in New York City.
Oh, you'd get punched in the face, wouldn't you?
I think so.
It's a camera, though, right, Gina? I mean, it sounds what you just described sounds like a camera.
Yeah, I'm using it as a camera. Yeah. And you know, here in San Diego, it's really sunny, so I always have I often wear it with the sunglass piece, which makes the camera a little less conspicuous. Like, people don't really notice it as much. I use it mostly as a camera. I use it for navigation. And I do enjoy getting text messages just kind of, you know, popped up in my face without having to check my phone. But that's basically what I use it for. And obviously, I take tons of pictures of the baby and little short videos of the baby that grandma and grandma love.
I don't know if I said this last week, but I think it's three things. Three minutes in one. It's a camera. You can record your life, number one. Number two, it gives you alerts. And number three, it gives you instructions, including directions.
Yeah, somebody was walking, I think, was it Baritone or somebody walking around New York and said this is a perfect use as a pedestrian.
Yeah, navigation as a pedestrian, definitely. And even driving. I mean, I don't recommend that you have the navigation on while you're driving, but there are times when I'll be in the passenger seat and have it on, or I'll look up something beforehand to get places. So nav is great. And the walking nav is particularly good because it knows which way you're facing, which is very, very useful, especially in a dense place like New York.
I found another fringe benefit to having it, which is up on the rundown. on the bottom thing on glass is that what I'm now dubbing glass selfies, because I demonstrate them to other people, and then of course they want to put them on. And what do? They take pictures. What are they taking pictures of?
Of you.
Me. So I have a whole huge.
That's kind of cool, 28
pictures there of me.
I kind of like that. What a handsome fellow you are.
Yeah.
I am.
I kind of like
again
that.
And again, me, again, me, me, me.
Glass selfies. This is pretty funny, actually.
So I've heard of at least two or three publications who have asked me indirectly or through friends, how do we get a hold of a pair, you know, some glass so we can send a writer out to do kind of stunt, like see, you know,
right,
record people's reactions to it, or, you know, see how weird they look, kind of like doing the, excuse me, but the glass, look at this glass hole piece, basically, which
means it's jumped the shark and it's over.
Yeah.
Time to move on.
Seriously. A little bit. It's a little sad.
This is local news is doing glass stories. It's over. It's all over.
I wish I put up the rundown. I don't think I did. Did I? Oh, wait, I did.
The NFL team?
No. Well, that. Not an Onion headline. This is a real headline. Area woman exploring use of Google Glass.
And how it'll affect your weekend after this.
Well, ESPN took it down to practice one of the NFL teams. I don't remember what team.
Yeah, that's actually neat. Watching them catch a ball is pretty cool.
Yeah, watching them catch a ball is pretty cool. Yeah.
South Bend so cool. Tribune. Area woman has glass. We have a whole glass section on our rundown here.
We have a huge section. We have the NFL players with glass. We have Larry Page wearing it at a wedding.
Oh, don't let somebody. Is it his wedding? No.
No.
He was a groomsman, though. Wedding. Okay.
Yes.
So what's the story? Are we going to see a bunch of pictures on his Google Plus of his brother's wedding?
We should. You see him doing the more subtle. We don't see Larry Page going, okay, glass. We see him doing that.
Always right. Wearing now. Apparently, Google has patented glass, a way of melding glass with prescription lenses, which is good news for people like me. Most of these are pictures of Larry's attractive wife. It seems.
Oh yeah, she is attractive.
Yeah. Where is the story?
I don't know what her.
Where are the pictures?
What? All right, the pictures that he took.
Yeah.
I don't know if he actually shared them.
Yeah. God, I don't know. I guess I would if it were my wedding, I would welcome somebody wearing glass because he's documenting the wedding, right? Mm-hmm. We gave, when I got married 20 years ago, we gave this is how long ago it was, disposable Instamatics to everybody. They were at every table. So take pictures and then leave them on the table and we'll get them developed. This is kind of like that.
Yeah.
It was in Croatia.
Nice place, I hear.
Yes.
Nice beaches and things.
Yes. Okay, so NFL glass.
That one's pretty cool, Leo.
So are these people who lent their glass to players?
Yeah, ESPN reporter put them on the players.
Oh, he had it. Okay.
She put them on.
She.
So they had them on the quarterback.
Ooh, that's kind of cool. Now, I'm thinking she had to start the recording for him.
No, yeah,
he's about to throw the ball.
Wow, that's cool.
That's cool. Wait until he catches. The catching is even better.
You see this stuff on.
There we go.
Boom. You see this stuff on NFL coverage anyway because they have helmet cams and stuff. In fact,
that's what the coach was saying. You know, you really could see the helmet, every helmet being equipped with this kind of thing, and for viewers to be able to watch the game from any player's given perspective.
Right.
I don't know if I'd want that though. It's a little like. Little Blair Witch.
Well, yeah, because when the networks use it, it's a special thing. You see it all the time in race cars. They'll have special, cameras in their race cars. So first person is nothing. Yeah, there's nothing new. Turning left. I'm turning left now. I'm going to turn left some more. There's nothing new to the idea of first person.
No, not at all.
Glass just maybe makes it easier. Easy enough for an NFL player to use.
almost.
So Jeff demoed a glass at the Guardian Activate. That's where some of those pictures came from.
Mm-hmm.
You have that was where you interviewed Vint Cerf.
Vint, the wonderful Vint. They just put the video up this morning.
Yay! I want to watch it.
Vint is amazing.
Yeah, we talked about the fact that you did it yesterday or last week. Time, but yeah. So
yesterday.
Gosh, we should just not do the show and play the interview.
20 minutes. Yeah, it's 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That's the demo one.
Okay, highlights. Anything? You're not wearing glass during the interview.
No.
Wait a minute, I have audio from.
Hey, you're on Google Glass. Big deal. Okay.
Wait a minute, where is that? Oh, that's you. Okay.
Oh, so you're using the screencasting. Nice.
Yeah. They very kindly edited out the.
It took me like 20 times because the way to turn the screencast on is you've got to photograph the barcode on the phone with the glass.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And trying to get it in the right spot is nearly impossible because you can't preview the photo. And so I was on stage. They
This is a good first impression.
When they put a GoPro quality camera on this thing, then maybe I'll be impressed.
Yeah. But then in my feed, it takes a while for the photos to come up. So then 3 days later, I'll see 20 pictures of half a QR code.
That's pretty funny. Here's something Mr. Robert Scoble shot with glass about a week ago. Look at that smiling face. And I think I know who that is in the background here.
That affable gentleman.
This is Daria Musk, the wonderful performer who made her name on Google Plus by doing a 24-hour broadcast and singing. She sang a couple of songs for us at a mystery event. And then there's a mystery guy holding a mystery device.
Not that you would say it's a phone or confirm that it's a phone.
I can't confirm. I think I can tell you that that is, in fact, Rick Osterloh, who is Senior Vice President for Product Management at Motorola. And in fact, Rick's a great guy. I had a great time talking to him. He's the guy who created Moto Blur. He created the first Motorola Android phone, which was the Click. It was kind of a social media phone. I don't know if you remember that. He left Motorola and then came back. Don't know why he was there. Don't know what that is he's holding. By the way, there's Mike Elgin, Ben Parr.
It's like a really small cable box, Leo. That's really
That's
amazing.
What it was. We were looking at the new Motorola desktop. You figured it out. Laura Fitton, a lot of bloggers at the event. And if I scroll a little farther, there's Guy Kawasaki.
How was the food?
Food was very nice. The event was very fun.
Was it just like a barbecue? You guys look
well.
Like
this was the. There were several portions to the event. I think I could say that. I should explain for those who don't know. I foolishly signed a non-disclosure agreement. So while I was at this event, and I can't deny it because there's Robert Scoble took video and posted it of me there. I can't talk about what the event was. What I saw at the event, but I can do this. I realized they didn't NDA the gift bag. That we're all, you can see in the video, we've all got these blue bags.
Mom swag.
Mm.
That got me real excited until I saw what was in it.
A lot of rainbow M's.
A copy of Guy Kawasaki's book, Ape, How to Publish a Book. A copy of this book, which is interesting, by, maybe you know this book, Jeff, Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion by Robert B. Cialdini.
I've seen it on the stands.
Yeah.
As far as my...
I'll read it. It looks really interesting. It's called A Classic Book on Persuasion, The Psychology of Why People Say Yes to NDAs. Oh, well, that's why they... That's why they gave it out. This is interesting. This is a Motorola battery pack. I think this was the product we were there to see, actually. And then a pair of headphones.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
That's it?
Oh, I want to grill you, but I'm not. I want to grill
so,
you. I want to ask all every question that I can. Yes. I want to. But you know what? I won't do that to you.
Can you imagine that as much as you want to ask, I want to answer.
You want a towel. Yeah, that's what you do.
There's been so many leaks, though. There's photos of Eric Schmidt using the phone. There's galleries.
It's kind of the worst kept secret. And in fact, I think that at this point, there's really not much that I could add.
Regina,
frankly.
All right.
Let's get Leo sued. Huh? What can we do to get Leo sued?
Oh, thanks. No, I'm not going to say anything. They were very specific. They said, you may see leaks. You cannot confirm anything you see. until the embargo is lifted. And I think even if I were to tell you the date of the embargo being lifted, it would be a giveaway of some information as well. However, I think that Jeff said I could say this. I was actually very excited about what I did see. And I think for reasons that will become clear, it's a significant thing.
Okay.
A All very right. significant thing.
Wow. Hmm. So I'm going to regret my one, aren't I? That's what you're saying. I'm going to regret this.
That's what he said before.
Yeah. Well, given your preferences in phones and so forth, I'm not saying it's a phone, but given given what I know about you, yes. It's a non-trivial thing.
Okay. All right. So can we talk about the leaks, or do you not want to talk about the leaks?
No, we can talk about the leaks. All I can't do is say yes or no. But there were quite a few leaks, and most of them are fairly credible, I have to say, especially that Rogers video.
Yeah, that Rogers video was pretty. So it sounds like sensors are always on listening, and it sounds like battery life. Although you would think that those two things would go again. I mean, phone always listening for the hot word, the OK Google Now, seems like the kind of thing that would kill your battery.
Doing that? One leak said there were two different processors doing that, and that's how that limited. One was just assigned to listen. And we certainly know the notion of listening. We can certainly see patterns of that in, number one, obviously, OK Glass. And number two, we saw stuff at I.O. that was pretty amazing, that you're going to be able to say to your laptop machine, OK Google, search for Gina Trapani. And mm-hmm. we know that they've worked on that, and they had demos of that with phones. So,
right.
So we know that's in the pipeline.
Right, and that's how glass works as well.
Yeah, and I think that this is really interesting because and we talked a little bit about this on Twit. If you live in a world where your devices are listening all the time, does that feel intrusive? You know,
yes. I feel a little weirded out by that.
People talked about with the Xbox One the fact that Kinect camera is always listening and is always on. As you know, this very Orwellian device in your house.
Yeah, but Leo, I already put up some post on Google Plus, and you know, the fifth comment down was exactly that. It's predictable. We're going to see news stories about this. But when we asked about that, and we asked about that somebody asked on the floor at I/O, it only listens locally. It only turns it on. It only wakes it up. That's all it does, and it's local. It is not something that goes over the network.
Right. It's listening for a particular word when it hears that. And by the way, I don't know how whatever this thing is will work, but this is the Rogers video. But that's what I think people are saying is, and that's certainly how the Google Chrome was working. It's not sending everything. Well, you have to trust Google when they say this. It's not sending everything back. That would be a lot of data, though.
It would be.
It's just listening for a word. And the phone has enough, or the computer has enough capability to say, hey, I'm not going to do anything until I hear that word. But when I hear that word, I'm going to say hello.
Now, on the other hand, we hear post-NSA that they can listen to you even with your phone turned off. They can listen to you all the time. And these days, I don't know what to think is paranoid. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. I've seen phones. I think they were more intended for husbands to plant on their wayward wives or vice versa, but the phones that had microphones you could turn on, cameras you could turn on without anybody's knowledge. But now that's a specific piece of hardware that's designed to do that.
Right.
If the phrase is okay, Google Now, that's a little obnoxious.
Yeah, and I would hope that you could customize it, but I don't know.
I was thinking about this today.
My Jersey version, of course, is yo, Google.
Yeah, that'd be great. Can you do that with the glass? You can't do that, right?
No, you can't.
You have to say, okay, Google Glass.
Okay, Glass.
Okay, course, Glass.
We had the story on the rundown about how the word was raised, and the woman who did it. It's funny because it's so Google. She said that, you know, at Google, you've got to present like 10 options. But the problem was the first idea I had was the best idea I had. Yeah. I couldn't think of any other options.
What about okay, bacon? Google? What about Go-Go Gadget, somebody said in the chat room? Go-Go Glass. Glassicus. Pew, pew, pew. That's good. No, it's not. I think it'd be nice if you could customize this. One thing that is an issue with glass, I'll say this cryptically. There is one thing that's an issue with glass that is not an issue with this device. That doesn't help at all, does it?
Oh, let me guess it. Let me say it. I'm going to guess that it can wreck it. The problem with glass is that even if I'm standing 5 feet away and someone else is wearing it, if I say the phrase "Okay, glass," glass listens. And I'm going to guess they found a way to fix that.
That Rogers video, there was a bit about it learns your voice.
Bigs bingo.
Boy, that would be great if they could do
attorneys,
that.
Attorneys, Leo said nothing.
They definitely said that. So that to me meant,
but actually,
yes,
Leo,
it knows my voice.
Actually, I'm afraid you might have signed that NDA on behalf of the entire Twit network.
No.
Okay.
You guys can do anything you want.
Okay, good.
That was just based on the Rogers video. That was,
yeah.
You know.
That would be a nice thing, because I actually have seen that happen.
That happens all the time with
me. I could, you know, if you say "Okay, glass," I could say "Take a picture." It takes a picture.
Well, yeah. I'm trying to tell people how to do it, and so I have to whisper to them. So now it's, what does it say there?
Right.
Say that.
Right.
And then what do you
That's
do?
So frustrating.
Yeah. It's
yeah. Yeah.
And if it does know your voice, there's other things you can do, like unlock, you know, when you hear my voice, that kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, not the best security in the world, of course, and we know the issues with face unlock, but it seems like that knowing your voice is useful in a few different ways.
Well, yeah, you're going to be able to do. I mean, I heard today some reference to be able to go to stores and buy things with your face.
I can say this: there are features of this phone that no one has revealed yet.
Oh,
that's exciting. Yeah, Leo, you're killing me, because there's obviously a big thing here, and I'm not really not sure if we've hit it in the leaks, and okay, I won't, this is killing me a little bit. So the voice activation we know about, what else do we know? It's supposed to be customizable, the back plate
and
the front
Rogers
plate.
Rogers said only black or white.
Yeah,
Others
right, black plate in August,
that's colors.
The leak said August, so we don't have to wait that long.
That's for Rogers. I'm hoping it may be even sooner.
The camera looks good. Shutter.
How long do you have to return the HTC One?
That's a good question. I should look that up. I may look that up right now. I'm looking at my Play Store email.
We do know that there is a Motorola event, but I think it's a Droid event on the 24th.
Right. Yeah,
that's next week.
I have my old Galaxy Nexus I can send to you until you get another phone.
Oh, I love my One.
I love my One too. You know, it's funny. I go back and forth with the Galaxy S4 and the One.
Here's my fear, my big fear.
Yeah.
And after I say this, Leo, I'm going to count down from 10. And if you leave your chair before I finish.
No, I can't do anything. They're watching me like hawks. I got
to
tell you.
Here's my fear. My fear is that this time they're going to suck up to the carriers and not release a pure Google experience phone and unlocked, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And you're going to have to buy them through the carrier. Because when Rogers said it was exclusive in Canada to Rogers, now we've heard reports it's going to be more than one carrier in the U.S. I hope to heck I can just buy it on the Play Store.
Well, all I would say is, and I would say this whether I knew something or not, all I could say is this I really am pretty sure everything up to now for Motorola has been was in the pipeline before Google's acquisition. This is the first phone after Google that they've released after Google really got in there and said, this is what we're going to do.
Right.
And I would expect to see, and from what you've seen in the leaks, I think kind of confirm this. I would expect to see a lot of influence from Google on what Motorola does here.
I agree with all of that. My fear is the business model. When we have seen Google's misstep twice, as far as I'm concerned, big ways, right? The devil's deal with Verizon and going into China. And why does Google do that? Google does that because they want to make nice with some partner, whether that's the Chinese government or Verizon. And that's what always gets them in trouble. When Google does what Google wants to do, it does the right thing so far as a rule. Or maybe the third possibility, of course, is the NSA. But we'll know more about that later, right? So if there are moments that come along when Google makes nice with phone companies, for example.
Right. I think only because they've had to. You know, Apple was the first one to really have the clout to say to a phone company, no, we're going to do it this way. For instance, the iPhone, one of the reasons I think people love the iPhone is there's little or no crapware on it. It is a pure phone no matter who you get it from. And it's one of the reasons, I was just reading an article today about, You cannot legitimately buy an iPhone in Russia because the major Russia, the three, four major Russian carriers who dominate the market are just don't like Apple's egregious requirements. Yeah. And so they just said, well, we're not going to sell it. There's a big black or gray market in iPhones, apparently, but nobody's selling it directly in Russia. And I think that if they could have, if the iPhone hadn't been as successful as it was, I think you would have seen a very different experience. But Apple really put the screws to these guys. The question is, why hasn't Google? Does Google have something? Is it possible Google has something that gives them enough clout that they could do that?
Yeah.
I think at this point, Android, it's very clear Android is a platform at least half of your customers want, if not more.
Right. Well, and the T-Mobile model we talked about last week, and since then the AT&T model, which lets you upgrade sooner than 2 years, though I think The Verge said stay away from the AT&T model, but whatever. I wonder whether those aren't maybe perhaps in response to what they expect from Google.
I also think it's interesting that Google's done these two Google Experience phones. I think to some degree that this HTC One and Galaxy S4 were ways of saying to their partners, look, yeah, we own a phone company, and we're about to come out with a phone. But really, we love you guys too. See, you're in our store too, which tells me you don't do that, I would guess.
Unless you're about to come out with something big.
And you plan to sell it as well.
Well, but then the next problem is...
So that seems to me... Pricing. My strategic thinking would be, okay, if you're Google, well, we want to sell this phone in our store. If we do that, though, if we make it, let's say, a Nexus, this is going to... Now this is our company. You know, the previous Nexuses were, what, LG and HTC?
HTC.
Samsung. Mm-hmm.
And Samsung. So if we now suddenly say, what Google doesn't want to do is tell those guys who are very successfully selling Android phones, oh, we'll take it from here. So to me, that would explain why all of a sudden you saw the HTC One and Galaxy S4 Google Experience
phones. Okay, the next scenario is they put it up there next to those two phones, and those two phones are selling for $600. And meanwhile, the Nexus 4 sold for $200.
I'm sorry, I was distracted. Did you say something?
Okay.
God, I hate this.
Leo has news to patients.
I would really not be I'd be a terrible corporate executive. I am a terrible corporate executive. Come to
This is why you have Lisa.
she is great at secrecy. But the problem is I know it, and so I say it. She signed the NDA. She's got no problem. She was with me. She saw the whole thing. She saw the whole thing. And I have to say, she did a great job of negotiating some stuff.
Really?
Won't say what that is either.
Ketchup?
Yeah, we got a great deal on ketchup.
Photo X is for everybody.
Yay. We love you, Lisa.
Yay. I'm a terrible poker player, too. Oh, here she comes.
Oh, Lisa's got the goods.
I'm starting to sweat now. I'm starting to sweat. She says, I just want to make sure you're not saying anything you shouldn't say. Well, I went through the bag already.
No, he's been good. Tell Lisa that you've been good.
Jeff is a journalism professor. I'm using him as my guide as to what I can and cannot do. Did you save that thing we signed? Did you get a copy of it? I didn't.
No, because they'll just sue you if you...
No, but I mean, I think we should have a copy of it so we know what we signed. I forgot to ask for one. Anyway.
Well, I don't need a copy. It was an NDA saying we wouldn't...
Yeah, we won't talk about it. That's what we said. She's going back into her office.
Something tells me we're changing the subject now.
Yeah, we let's change this up because this is killing me too. I want to just start yelling out things, but let's just.
So okay. So the rumors are that, and this is another interesting one. And by the way, I do not know anything germane on this one. That Google is going to spend $500 million on marketing of the Moto X phone, and I have no idea about that. But what's interesting is that's more than Apple spends marketing the iPhone. $500 million.
You want something that's going to make the other manufacturers nervous. That's going to make them nervous.
That's going to make them crazy. Yeah. On the other hand, that may be for Verizon, Sprint, AT&T, and the carriers, right?
Co-op deals.
Co-op. That's basically, if you said, I'm going to give $100 million to each of them and then I'll have $100 million for ads, that might make sense.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
it's worldwide, too.
It's worldwide. Actually, that $500 million is not just in the U.S., includes Europe.
It's been announced that they're gonna manufacture this phone in the U.S. That's not even a leak.
They have said that, yes.
Is it out loud?
And that the thesis on that will allow them to customize it. You know, and this is something Apple isn't really able to do. Apple, in order to make the vast number of phones they have to make, has to make it in China.
But here's my concern there. I'm just being worrywart today. My concern there is we're going to be hitting the button. Get it. We're going to have to wait for months before we can order the darn phone. You know, are they going to have sufficient stock and capacity? And I'm sure you didn't discuss that at the lunch that didn't happen.
I might have.
That worries me.
I might have talked about that.
This is like how to torture Leah. You know, for me, you want to torture me, drop me on a bridge, right?
Yeah.
For other people, you want to torture them, you know, have them with rats.
Yeah.
For Leo, tell him something he can't repeat.
Yeah.
Torture.
I wish I could. I mean, there's been a lot said. And I think the most important thing is there is more to say. That's the one thing I think it's fair to say. There is more to say. We, for all that's been leaked, and there's been a lot leaked.
So, Gina, what's the return policy?
Yeah, I'm going to have to send this back. I mean, if Leo, I'm going to have to send this thing back, aren't I?
Not yet. Damn. Not yet. Wait.
Or it could be 14 days or 30. It's either 14 days or 30 days.
Yeah, that's what I got. I got to find out. I'm still.
Does the chat room, does anybody know what the return policy is on the Google 30 days on the Play Store?
White House 75 said 30
days. You got plenty of time.
I don't trust the White House.
Plenty of time.
Okay. All right. So August, early August, we're going to know.
I'm just saying.
Just saying.
Don't worry. You got time to return your phone.
Somebody else said 14 days.
Oh, no. Wait a minute.
Wait, I'm looking.
15% restocking fee, says Web9636.
15 days would be problematic.
Okay. Oh, now we're really. Check order status.
Hey, by the way, did you see that? So T-Mobile had this, you know, plan that every 6 months, new phone. We talked about it last week. AT&T and Sprint are doing the same thing, although some have said that it's a really crappy deal if you do the AT&T deal.
The Verge has a rundown on the AT&T.
It's financially a bad idea, but I bet you people do it just because they want some excuse to get a new phone every 6 months. This is the jump.
I find it better just to buy the darn phone open and then add it.
What? So now Google is having an event in 1 week on July 24th in the morning. Sundar Pichai will be there. Now, unfortunately, used to be if it were Sundar, you'd say, oh, it's Chrome.
Yeah, but not anymore.
Now he's Android and Chrome.
So you don't know which.
Damn it. So we don't know what that will be about. 4.3 sounds like it might be. Because we haven't heard much about that. Although I'm getting the feeling at this point that there's even 4.3 Android is not going to be a big change. Do you get that feeling?
Yeah. No, it isn't. It isn't. All we know about it is that there's going to be some camera UI changes, but the fact that it's a minor release, I don't think it'll be.
Well, let me ask a couple questions about that. So if always on listening is just part of the OS, is that potential? Or do we think that has to be built in to the hardware? I mean, we know what the impact on battery is going to be, but who knows what was built into this hardware before? That's one question. Second is you have the phone stuff. The Rogers video showed some really neat camera stuff where you didn't have to hit a button. You could just hit the screen. You could do other things. That, I presume, is just OS changes. So we could see some of the things that were shown in that video that Leo can't confirm.
Yeah.
What of those things could be in the next version of the OS? What of those things couldn't be because they're hardware dependent?
We should also say that might not be. The other thing he could be announcing is new tablets. They're overdue for a Nexus 7 replacement,
they
right?
They sure are.
That's true.
The other thing he could be announcing is, I don't know what.
This is the 24th.
Chromebooks?
This is
new Chromebooks? Could there be an update to Chrome OS?
Well, they constantly update it.
Yeah, it's constantly updated.
No, but I mean,
right?
Like some big thing. Like,
like they're releasing a
we
new
We did a deal
a
with Dell or something. I don't know.
Well, they could be doing the OK Google voice thing for machines.
I'd love to see a $400 Chromebook that was like
well, the HP one is out. The HP has a 14-inch screen.
Oh, all right.
And 16 gigs, four gigs memory was supposed to two, which is really good. 16 gig solid state drive. I went into Best Buy and looked at it. It's still, pardon me, it's still HP.
Yeah.
I wouldn't buy. Trackpad is that weird bumpy thing. And
I mentioned on Twit that my Chromebook Pixel is my breakfast computer. it's on the table, and it's the only time I use it is breakfast. Sometimes a little bit watching TV because it isn't really a full computer. It's a browser. It's a browsing computer. But I do think for students that it's not a bad idea.
And this is a breakfast event, apparently. You're going to be breakfasting
it's a breakfast
with
event.
Sundar.
So I'm thinking maybe Sundar heard me. I'll bring my Pixel.
Are you going? Are we covering? How are we
covering? I wasn't invited.
Oh.
Just because I know Guy Kawasaki apparently does not get me into other events.
Oh, and there will be a live stream, it looks like.
Yeah. So we probably should cover that. You know, the 24th is the second anniversary of our moving into our new studio, so we're going to be having a party.
Wow, time flies.
I know.
This is good timing, just right before the show.
Yeah. So I guess we probably will. I hadn't really... This invitation went out this morning, but I think that's probably what we'll do. I'm just checking to see if I have an email from Sundar, but I don't see anything. So, Jason, did you get an invitation to the Google event on Wednesday? Did anybody here get an invitation? Did you get an invitation to the Google event on Wednesday? No.
So is that before that's breakfast? So we'll know what it is by the time our show's on.
Yeah,
that's perfect. It's good timing.
Yeah.
We'll be able to discuss.
So any bets? I'm going to bet a Nexus 7 or something like that.
Somebody said in the chat room there's a rumor that it'll be a $299 versus $199. I keep on picking up the Note 8 because I would like to have the pen, but it's just that extra inch is just too much.
What we found with our reviewers is that in order to get it to be work with a stylus, you have to put this Wacom layer on top of it that reduces the quality of the screen. That's what you said, Jason, right? You didn't like the Note's screen as much, and we think it's because it had to do with the stylus. Yeah.
Wacom or Wacom?
I don't care. I like Wacom.
Yeah, you said that, and I was like, oh, what now?
You know, Wacom, Wacom, whatever. I like Wacom.
Wacom.
I just say it because I like to say Wacom.
So if we think Moto X is August, then we think that this event next week is, I wouldn't be surprised if it was a new Nexus 7 or a new Chromebook, or maybe both.
This seems
like a pretty low-key, join us for breakfast with Sundar. It seems kind of maybe like just a little
could just be breakfast.
Thing.
Yeah, it could be an update to, I don't know. He does what? He does Android and Chrome. That's it. Right?
Android and Chrome. It could be Android 4.2.3. It could be the new Nexus 7. Yeah. It could be either. Or both. Although I don't see them announcing anything about Chrome that isn't a new Chromebook, right? Because Chrome constantly updates. And we've just seen a bunch of Chrome stuff in preview at I.O., right?
Right. I don't know. So to get back to the jump plan, Eric Ravenscraft, writing on Lifehacker, did a breakdown of the T-Mobile, the AT&T frequent upgrader plan. You know, it's so hard to figure this out. Across the board, he says, you will pay more both over the short term and the long term. Of course, you don't get to keep a device you don't finish paying off. These are trade-ins. And it doesn't mean, if you owe anything on the phone, you're stuck with the carrier unless you pay off the phone. The other thing he says is that AT&T Next is a huge ripoff.
Yeah.
So they did a infographic. So with the AT&T 2-year contract based on $90 a month for service and $200 up front for the phone, your cost of your phone is $2,360. With Next, it goes up to $2,800. And I guess you get the same ability to keep it. That's with no upgrade. So in other words, if you do the same thing, you keep the phone for 2 years, it still costs you $440 more, $440 more over the 2 years. If you do one upgrade, it goes up to $2,928. And your monthly cost goes up to $122. So really, don't do it. You're better off.
Just to buy it.
If you do the AT&T next 2 years, you do one upgrade with a buyout. Your monthly cost goes up to $122 from $90. Your total cost is $3,184. And you get to keep one one-year-old phone.
Does it have comparables for the T-Mobile?
I think the T-Mobile is not as bad. But it says T-Mobile's jump plans are better, but frequent upgrades are still costly. So, yeah, you're really better off buying the phone.
I think you're better off to buy a phone and then sell it either on eBay or through...
Gazelle.
Yeah. Gazelle, yeah.
Gazelle makes this pretty straightforward.
Yeah, and that's going to be... You're going to be better off. And you're in more control.
So let's see what your HTC One is worth.
Wow.
No. You know what? I love the One, and I have not... I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm not saying I'm going to...
Well, you're going to buy everything. You buy everything so you can choose. There's never an or for you. It's always an and for you.
Yeah. See, they don't have the Google Edition as an option, but I'll choose Factory Unlocked.
Yeah.
32 gigs?
Yeah,
you got the 32. Or the 6. There is no 16. 32 or 64. $244. That's not real great. It's like half really what you paid.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind.
I can always give this to one of my developers. But I do love this phone.
No, you're going to love it. What do you like best about it? See, you're not getting the thing I like best, which is the Zoes and the highlights.
You know, it's such a big upgrade from the Galaxy Nexus. It's really fast. The screen is longer, even though the handset is the same size. Like in my app, you can see a whole other to-do item at the bottom of the screen. I love that the speakers are on the front. I listen to podcasts.
Yes.
Watch YouTube.
Isn't that brilliant? Yes.
I like that I could put the phone down on its back on the table, see the screen, and hear the speakers at the same time. That's a very simple thing, but it's a very nice thing.
I agree.
The screen looks amazing next to the Galaxy Nexus. It's just a big upgrade for me. Like, I know, Leo, you have all the best phones. You have the GS4 there.
I go back and forth with the GS4 and the One. I like the One. The non-removable battery can... What's your battery life been?
It's been really quite good so far. It hasn't crapped out on me midday, which is basically my requirement. Just make it through the day with me, and it hasn't been an issue. As long as I plug it in at night, it's
good.
Been fine.
Well, then that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully, it'll stay that way.
I don't know enough about what the Moto X is to know whether that's going to be a good upgrade or not.
No, he equivocates.
But you'll find out soon enough.
I'll admit, though, the always listening thing, I know Jeff is going to yell at me. I don't love that idea. And, like, I get that it's local. You do have to trust Google about that. And also, which I kind of do. But also, I think, like, do consumers really conceptually differentiate between what happens locally on the phone and what gets sent back over the wire?
Well, this is why people like you who are very smart about technology need to explain this to them.
Right. Actually, I think... Well, remember HAL 9000 in 2001, A Space Odyssey? The goal of a computer that responds and interacts with you, it would have to listen, just like your friend listens. So to have a truly interactive computer that does what you want it to do, it has to do a lot of the things Google's building in, like know ahead of time what you want. You know, I mean, the perfect servant's one that knows you want a cup of tea before you even ask for it and has it ready the minute you want it. I think that's what Google's trying to do. And I think that's what people, truthfully, I think that people don't care as much about privacy as we say they do, as we do. And I think that if it's super convenient and super cool, they're not even going to think twice.
Basically, never say anything out loud to your phone that you wouldn't want the NSA to know.
Oh, God. I don't think that swiping my finger up on my phone to have it start listening is that... Is that
nice? Yeah, that's what I do.
Gina's trying to convince herself she doesn't want that feature.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know, when we hooked up the Kinect in our living room, you know, my wife was like, is this thing going to be like taking pictures of us the whole time that we're like watching TV and you know, living our lives.
Can you imagine? Why would it? What is more boring?
Right. Well, that's true. Yeah. We are pretty boring.
What do they want with pictures of you watching TV?
Right.
Who cares? There's
this sense of like, there is the sense of surveillance, and it is the sense of like of watching to see, you know, have I done the connect hand wave, which it doesn't actually look for the hand wave until you go into, you have the Xbox.
You have to actually be running
in a connect enabled game.
Yeah. You turn it on. Yeah.
Right. You turn it on. Right. You can see it come on and scan the room. And there's something comforting about that. Okay. Now the connect is on and I'm going to play with it. I know I'm being super paranoid.
No, the new one doesn't do that though. The new one's always watching.
Oh, the new one's just always kind of...
And always listening, I think,
I mean, I probably folks will just get... People just get kind of used to this. And you're right. Sending all that data over the line, I know logically that would make no sense. And then it is the most boring
Nobody
thing
cares that much.
No one cares that much. But, you know, what the NSA wants, Microsoft to broadcast all the streams from the Kinect devices in everybody's living room. Like,
they wouldn't
do
that. What they would do is they would say, okay, we think Gina Trapani's been doing something illegal. Let's turn that one on. Let's tap that one.
Yeah,
then they would be interested in what you're doing. And some poor schmuck would have to sit and watch you watch TV.
And reports have it that they can do that anyway.
They can do that anyway.
Yes.
Right, but I'm helping them. I'm like, I'm equipping my home with surveillance devices.
Yeah.
Notice. Right? Like, I'm
how easy that is.
Yeah. Yeah. And so if I buy tea from a suspected terrorist because they're doing 2-3 hops now,
you don't have to buy tea from a suspected terrorist. You have to buy tea from somebody who bought tea from somebody who bought tea from a suspected terrorist.
Right.
So that's pretty much all of us.
Right.
But I think it's safe to assume that I use encryption, so my stuff's being collected. It's just safe to assume your stuff's being collected, whether they're looking at it or.
I mean, it's the same rule. You never say anything in email that you wouldn't want to appear on the front page of the New York Times. Hello or.
Well, now you can't say anything around your phone or your Kinect. That gets a little bit restrictive.
Yeah, I mean.
Do we have to get a cone of silence in the house?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, this is my home. I'm having conversations with my family. Like, it's a little different. I'm typing email to friends and colleagues. And yes, I've typed personal things and emails to friends and to my spouse. But there's something about doing that data entry and feeling like, oh, this is a document that I am now sending off to the internet.
You have Glass. Glass is listening to you.
It is.
Well, no, right? Because you have to tap it to wake it up.
Oh.
Okay.
Right?
Oh.
Maybe that tap is just for your convenience.
You think that's just
take a look at it.
Just sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride.
Gina and I were having a conversation before we got on the air. I have a reason to encrypt email, and so I've never done it. Don't know. And she was great. She gave me a wonderful plugin for Chrome called Mailvelope. Easy enough for Jarvis. That's the standard here, right? So I put it in, but it still presumes essential knowledge about how to encrypt it. I still didn't get the basic what do you do then. So I wrote up this post.
Well, I should also point out that Mailvelope has been hacked, but other than that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Sorry, Jeff.
How has it been hacked? It's still...
When was Mailvelope hacked?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know if they've patched it. It uses strong encryption. It uses OpenPGP, so that's good.
Yeah. And as long as you do it outside of the client.
I think it's hard to do. If you do it outside the client, you're fine.
Yeah, that's what you're doing. It encourages you to write the email and encrypt it outside.
Yeah, then it's not hacked.
And then cut and paste it in. Okay, right.
I don't think.
So I still couldn't figure out what it was. So I wrote up this post. I was all wrong. I was completely wrong. But nobody just said simply, oh, no, Jarvis, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No. This huge debate about is PGP good enough? What are you doing this? What are you doing that? It's the religion of the encryption church is obnoxious. It is obnoxious. And it turns everybody off to try to use this stuff because it's overcomplicated. It's over-argued about. It just drove me batty. And finally, you'll be glad to know, Leo, somebody put in a link to, what's the name of the how-to show you did?
Know-how, yeah.
Know-how.
We and talked so about OpenPGP.
Starting at minute 11 in the encryption show on know-how, boom, made it easy, figured it out. But my God, I had to go through 3 days of torture of encryption people yelling at each other around me.
twit.tv/KH50 if you want to
It's very good.
Watch that
minute
episode.
11, if you now trust using Mailvelope, is exactly where you learn how to use Mailvelope.
Yeah. They use, the title is a little deceptive because there is PGP, which is a commercial product. They actually use OpenPGP via GNU Privacy Guard, which is what I recommend, and it's a very good way to do it.
But geez, you're right, Leo, when you've said before.
And they demonstrated Mailvelope, which, right, yeah. The problem with Mailvelope is somebody would have to have access to your computer, which, you know, we're presuming that you haven't given physical access to your computer to somebody.
It's open source, and it was just updated 5 days ago. I imagine
it's
getting
fine.
Patched pretty
it's very
often.
Easy. I think it's good. But man, because I thought, here's how screwy I was trying to understand just the concept of how OpenKey works. And I've always just let it wash over my head. So I thought I had to somehow get the password I was using to the person I was sending the email to. No,
that's right? That's a reasonable thing.
Yeah,
that's a reasonable thing. But that's what that's
concept.
Yeah,
because I thought that I was encrypting it with my key, and then they were going to them. No, instead, I'm encrypting something to them with their key. Right.
The point of public key cryptography, which is once you get it, is brilliant. Is in the old days, in order, you know, like secret decoder ring days, in order for somebody to decode it, you would have to have a shared secret.
Right.
And the problem is, how do I get the shared secret to you so that, you know, you and I, but public key cryptography eliminates that. There are two keys. There's a public key, which I can give out, you can give out, anybody can have. All that does is encrypts. It doesn't decrypt. It only encrypts. And then there's a private key, which you keep to yourself, and you use a strong passphrase to protect. And that's your private key, and that is the decryption key. So you can give out the public key, and then that solves that whole issue of shared, you know, shared secret.
Right, so
that's such a brilliant and wonderful thing that it just solves all of these problems.
And
it's really
let me make sure I got this straight now. I'm just going. You send me your public key.
I don't even have to send it to you.
Your public key.
Right.
Well, yeah. You send it to me, or I get it. I have your public key.
Yes.
I use that to encrypt something. I send it to you, and you can decrypt it because you have the key.
Because I have the private key.
That's what confused me.
Because I have the private key.
My key to encrypt my stuff to you. No. I use your key to write something to encrypt it to you. Right?
Right.
That simple thing took me 3 days of yelling with people to find out.
That's pretty funny.
Drove me batty. Absolutely batty. I did these encryption geeks. And the great thing is somebody said they pointed me to the nicest encryption security person there is, of course, is Steve. And somebody sends me to one of his wonderful transcripts. But I got 100 pages.
No, that's hard. You can't do it that way. And,
right.
And he doesn't do much. That was way over
really
your head. That was
down.
Not.
He doesn't dumb it down. No.
That was definitely not the right direction to send you.
No. So I went absolutely batty to get this figured out.
I'm sorry. If I had known, I probably could have.
You solved it. Because your show. Thank
well,
you.
I actually wasn't on that show. But I as in Snubs solved it.
Yeah, I mean, it's too hard. It's too hard. I mean, even when you asked me, Jeff, I was like, oh, this Mailvelope. I mean, for someone just, you know, using regular kind of Gmail, I went with Mailvelope because I was like, this is web-based and it works with Gmail. And it's just too hard. I mean, who's using, you know, not a lot of people are using Thunderbird right now.
Well, that's the thing. It's a lot more straightforward in a client. To do it on the web is both more
tacky and,
It's also more difficult.
This is why it should become
risky.
So when I talked about this with Vince Cerf, he agrees that, you know, number one, of course, they use SSL. That's to start off with, and he agrees that we should make it easier to do this. But when I talked to him about what we talked about in the show before about the problem of my Google Now boarding pass, I mean, his view is you encrypt up to their box. The things inside their box are not encrypted because you trust them to hold on to it, unless of course there's a warrant, right? But it's not a snooping problem then, right? And into the box and out of the box should be encrypted, but in the box shouldn't be, so that Google can then act on it to your benefit. And I agree with that architecturally.
Well, that's in Google's interest.
But it's also in my interest as a user, because I want to be able to get my boarding pass. I want Google Now to be smart about
it.
I'm upset Google Now doesn't know enough about me.
Right. Yeah, that's the interesting balance, because true privacy, obviously, encryption doesn't work with Google Now because you're hiding stuff from Google.
Right, because what would actually be stored on Google servers would just be a jumble of letters and numbers, right? So they wouldn't be able to advertise or do any personalization or any third party.
I think what you got to do if you really want to do this is you use Gmail for day to day, and when you want something private, you do something else. Or you use Mailvelope and you don't encrypt it until it's, you know, you don't have to, I'll tell you one thing. The airline's never going to send you your boarding pass encrypted.
Right.
No. That ain't going to happen. So you're safe there.
Right. So personal one-to-one communications about sensitive topics.
You don't want Google Now to know about that anyway.
Now, didn't Snowden go to the Guardian blogger and say, hey, I need to send you something encrypted? And he was like, I don't know what.
Snowden wanted to use OpenPGP.
Right. And Glenn Greenwald didn't
figure it out. I think they did later.
But this is important. Part of the reason I'm doing all this, I have a very specific reason to do this. But as a journalism instructor, I had this discussion with somebody interviewing me the other day. What's a journalist to do now trying to deal with the source? How do we know that we can communicate with the source? We can't. Just the metadata alone, right? The fact that, this person talked to somebody at that exchange and that exchange is the New York Times, we're going to watch it. So metadata alone means that journalists cannot in any way, open way, even contact confidential sources, right? So then how do you do it?
The way spies have done it for a million years, you use a dead drop.
Yep. But that becomes ridiculous. And the other thing that I've long argued that ever since the original New York Times story on the warrantless wiretaps, right? That part of my argument long since has been that what the NSA actually wants to a great extent is baseline data so they can see anomalies. And we're the baseline. Right. Or in the words of Alexander, we're the haystack.
Mm.
And once we have the haystack, then they can see, aha, that's a very strange pattern there. That doesn't fit the pattern of so-and-so calling somebody. And that's things like throwaway phones. Gee, a phone that was always only used once in a month.
That's a giveaway, huh?
Now we can go back and look at all the phones that were used only once in a month.
Uh-oh, now I'm worried about all my development phones.
So the wire.
You mean your burners?
My burners.
Right. So the wire?
The wire taught me everything I need to know.
It's anomalous. No, the wire wouldn't work. It's anomalous behavior. And you don't want to be anomalous.
No.
In a world where they, in the words of General Alexander, collect it all.
You need to develop your spycraft. That sounds all.
Like the beginnings. Is that this is your new sponsor?
Yeah, we should take a break and talk. This would be great. Just teach everybody dead drops. You know, we've all watched those. You know, those movies where you put you take a piece of chalk and you put a mark on a rock and then you stick the secret code in there. And then
that'd be interesting to get Steve going, because I know you just did the episode about, you know, how much tinfoil do you put in your hat.
Yes, which was, by the way, a great idea.
It is a great idea. But it'd be nice to challenge Steve outside of technology. Right? If you take his security brain and then put it to those kinds of things.
Oh, like he does that all the time. He's building a device to get dogs to stop barking. you don't know Steve. This guy's insane.
He's unbelievable.
He's insane. We're going to take a break, and we will come back with more. We are talking, my friends, about everything having to do with cloud and Google and all of that stuff. And our show today brought to you by our good friends at LegalZoom.com. If you are in a business, if you are in a family, if you live life, you need legal documents, but you don't need to get, and this is the cool thing, a lawyer to make them up for you. LegalZoom is not a law firm, but it does help you create those important legal documents. It turns out you can do it yourself with a little help from LegalZoom. Just follow their simple step-by-step questionnaires online, and you can incorporate S or C Corp. You can make an LLC. That's actually how I did it, and we're still using those legal papers. $99 to do an LLC or an incorporation. You got a trademark? You got a brand you want to preserve? Buzzmachine.com, smarterware.org. I would suggest a trademark. Easy to do. $169 plus the government filing fees. Hey, now, if you have a family or you have assets, you really want to protect them. Without a will, the courts decide where your kids go, where your assets go. And it's $69 to create a last will on LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom makes it very easy, very effective. And I think this is the ultimate democratization. I love this. What's interesting is They predate the internet, or at least the widespread use of the internet. LegalZoom's helped 2 million Americans over the last 12 years do all of these and many more legal documents for affordable price. They now have something they didn't have when I used LegalZoom back in 2005. They have attorneys. They've negotiated fixed price attorneys. The LegalZoom legal plan allows you to speak to an attorney in your state. They have profiles and unedited reviews online, so you can pick the attorney right for you at a flat rate, fixed rate, so you can get advice. It's a perfect complement to the LegalZoom document generation stuff. It's really, I think this is just wonderful. This is empowering for all of us. Because a lot of, you know, you want to start a little startup, you don't have necessarily the money. I didn't for legal fees to start that LLC, but LegalZoom made it possible. Why don't you start making your dreams come true and protect your family while you're at it? LegalZoom.com. If you use our offer code TWIG, you can take $10 off at purchase. That means that last will is only $59. That's a good deal. LegalZoom.com. Please, when you buy, use the offer code TWIG. It is time, ladies and gentlemen, for the Google Changelog.
The Google Changelog.
Diggity doom ba boom bing doom. And now, Gina Trapani with the Google Changelog.
Google's new Maps redesign, which we covered back at Google I.O. During the show, is now open to everyone. No invite required. Yay. You do have to opt in, though, to see it. So I think you go to google.com/maps/preview, and you'll be able to get the new maps. I think we've talked about all the new features of the new maps extensively. It's a much more full-screen experience with cards for local information and results right in map. Looks really good. And we've seen a bunch of maps updates, actually. Google Maps for iOS got a new interface, better navigation, looks really great on the iPad, and Google Maps for Android updated as well to match the desktop version, and that is rolling out slowly. I did get it on my Android devices, and we talked about this a little bit as well. Latitude is no longer in, but really, really nice interface changes on maps across iOS and the desktop on the web and Android. The Play Store got a huge redesign this week. Have you seen this, Leo? Looks completely different. This is on the web. Play.google.com. Basically, the web-based version now looks like the mobile version. It's got that sort of card-based, like Google Now kind of card layout-based design. Huge app icons. Really kind of nice layouts. Review functionality is a little different on individual pages. You can view a list of your apps which are installed across your devices. When you go to install an app, you'll see all your devices listed. And interestingly, I saw Google Glass listed as one of those apps. It kind of hints that maybe Glass will get installations from the Play Store.
They've had those devices before. I mean, that's been around for a while.
Yeah, they've had the list of compatible devices.
I think that is a real selling point on Android.
It is.
You can install from the web.
Frustrated. I use the Nexus when I'm traveling, which I've been doing a lot of lately. I use the Nexus 7 to watch huge amounts of stuff, and so I'm watching Breaking Bad and all those kinds of great things on it. They've changed it a little bit, so it's harder to see as many shows at once and what you buy, and it's also harder to see what shows you own. It's all there and everything. But they kind of mucked it up a little bit. Just a little bit.
Mm.
It's otherwise, it's very pretty. It's very nice. I like it all. But I liked what they had. But if anybody here from Google happens to be listening, my management of shows before was better.
You know what is working well, though, is the recommendations. Is this new, the recommendation engine? I like this. And this is doing a good job.
It does a nice job. My recommendations are also
Mine used to, when it recommended to me, it used to recommend things to me that I already had installed.
Yeah. Amazon does that too. You bought this, so maybe you'd like to buy it again.
And then when you do buy it again, it says, hey, you fool, you already bought this, which is nice.
I know, it's so stupid.
Well, it's interesting. I'm getting for an app that I tried the trial. It's pushing the premium version, so
there
like floating notifications. I mean, that makes sense. I'm not likely, but I looked at that. I glanced at it and thought I have that installed already, and then realized that I had installed the premium version. It looks really nice. One of the nice things that it does is it's got that add to wish list button. Front and center now on the web. That was previously only showing up devices. I didn't even realize that the Play Store had a wish list.
You can say
hey, I want this app.
Oh, I want that. Oh, good.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, I wonder, I'm not sure if you can share your wish list, or like, I would love to be like, oh, you know, I'm Jeff did a nice thing for me today. I'd like to maybe buy him an app from the Play Store. It'd be nice if you can kind of just easily look at somebody's wish list and give them an app. And it seems like they're moving in that direction. What else do we have? Oh, we have got some Chrome for Android updates. The stable version updated with built-in Google Translate and full screen support on tablets. So if you go to a page that's in a language which is not your native language, Google Translate will prompt you to automatically translate that content. And just like it works on the phones now on tablets, it'll go full screen. So your Omnibox or your address bar will kind of will go back up into the top of the Chrome, like as you scroll, so you get more room to read just content. And that's Chrome stable for Android. Chrome beta for Android updated to version 29, and it's got WebRTC. Yay.
Yay.
And faster page loads. Yeah.
We'll soon be doing the show, I predict.
Yes, we will soon be doing the show via WebRTC on our Android devices. It'll be very exciting.
We're actually looking at some hardware that might help us. We can't do it right now because of limitations with our hardware. The Blackmagic hardware, right, Chad? The video in card is a little finicky, but we're looking at new hardware that might work with WebRTC better. So
And there's a Chrome 29 beta for Windows, Mac, and Linux also released. And that's it seems like that they're just kind of speed
up the Chromebook.
Chrome OS didn't get 29. Chrome 29 didn't come to you, Jeff?
Nope.
Mm. And you won't get it unless you're on the beta channel, right?
This is the beta channel. And you are on the beta channel. It didn't come down. Oh, that's interesting.
Make sure here. Yeah, that's it. We're actually behind in that sense.
29.0.1547.22 beta.
The version numbers are nuts, bro. They're totally
it's
nuts.
Crazy. They're putting the build number into the version number, I suspect.
Yeah, that must be it. And then a quick item that I missed last week, the One Today charity app. I think we talked about it a while ago. Google released this Android app called One Today. It's basically like social charity. That used to be invite only. It's now open to everyone. So I love One Today. I use it a lot. And in fact, I just donated to today's project. And I said, make it a match. So if you look at my Google Plus profile, you'll see I gave $1 to the nonprofit project Raspberry Pi materials. It gives Raspberry Pi to girls in tech courses, and I'll match your donation. And it works really well. You can either just give $1, or you can say I'll match my friend's donations up to a certain amount. So I think in this case I could match up to like $60, and I said I'll match up to $10. So it's a really cool way to.
You've
say,
already
like,
maxed
hey,
it out, by the way.
I've maxed it out. Yay. You should still donate. But you can only do it once a day. You can't do it more than once a day. And I find that I give more money to charity, which is kind of something I want to do, and more causes that I care about. And it's really simple. It's just your Google Wallet. And sometimes, most of the days, I just say, okay, yeah, $1, sure. You know, I'm spending more than
that. Is that how it works? Is just $1, or can you give more?
It's just $1. If you want to give more, you can say, I'll match up to an amount, a certain amount, and they cap it. So it's usually, I've never seen an amount over $60 if your friends donate.
So it's a little challenge to your friends to do that.
It's a challenge to your friends.
Great.
Or I can go in and it'll say, hey, Leo donated. Will you match his donation? And you'll be like, yeah, I'll give $1 in Leo's, and that will count toward your match.
I'm signing up right now. One
social pressure.
One today.
Okay. OneToday.google.com. And, you know, some projects I'm not so interested in. Others I'm like, yeah, I really believe in this cause. So I think it's encouraged good behavior, I think, on my part. I want to give more to charity from different causes, and I definitely have.
Just to be clear, you don't have to have a device that Google Wallet works on. It uses your Google Wallet to pay, but you don't have to have – because none of my devices – I don't know what Google Wallet works on a Nexus 4, I guess, right? Doesn't work on any of my devices.
Yeah, it's just if you have a Google Wallet account.
Right.
Yeah, and you get to a place, I think you get to $10 or $15, and it says, hey, will you pay your balance? You've got a balance.
Oh, I see. They aggregate it up. That's good.
Yeah, they aggregate it up. So you're not going through the whole payment process every time. And then you just say, yeah, sure, pay, you know, debit my account, and they do so. And it's nice. It's a good app.
Cool.
And that's it. That's all I got.
Learn about a new project from a nonprofit every day. Show your support by giving as little as $1, which is how little I'm going to give.
Yeah.
That's the change log. Yeah, baby.
That was a Memorex moment.
Or something. I don't know what that was. Let's see.
Gina, wait a second. Do you even know what I mean when I say Memorex moment?
Should I? Is that, I don't know, is that like a commercial
You're too young.
What?
You're too young.
I think you guys think I'm a lot younger than I am. Was that a commercial thing? I'm Googling.
Oh, Memorex moment. Now. I don't think she's from the era of recording tape, Jeff.
No, that's it. It was better recorded Memorex, and it has a guy sitting in front of a speaker, and he's blown back.
Yeah, I love that.
Memorex tape.
Yeah. And then they had Ella Fitzgerald. Is it live or is it Memorex? That goes even farther back, right?
Okay.
Yes, it does.
Okay. I recall the dude sitting in the chair getting blown back from a speaker.
Yeah, you saw that one.
Yeah, I've seen that one.
But you didn't see Ella breaking the glass in the Memorex ad.
I don't think so. Yeah
there's the guy. Everybody's seen that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I'm not as young as you think.
I do not think. By the way,
Gina, I am as old as you think.
Now that commercial, you know what? It was from 1979. So that's that wasn't
one, two.
That wasn't so long.
I made a brand new tape, as you can see.
New MRX 3 oxide from Memorex.
What is that she's holding?
Makes the difference.
You get high as highs and even lower lows. Is it three or me? Nobody knows.
Now, more than ever, we can ask, is it live or is it Memorex?
Wow. Even the name Memorex sounds like something from science fiction.
Yeah.
It's a Memorex device.
Grew up in the 80s making mixtapes, so...
Yeah, you know what a cassette is. Yeah. You're not that young.
I grew up in the 80s, early 90s even, making mixtapes. And then mix CDs. But
No, the CDR, that doesn't count. No.
I shouldn't be asking... All right, you're right, Gina. I should be asking Chad these questions.
Yeah, Chad's too young to remember anything. Yeah.
Except for red hair.
He remembers being born. That's how young he is.
It's funny when you said Memorex, because I believe that the Borat DVD came in a Memorex. Like it was made to look bootlegged.
Right.
And so came in a Memorex CD.
I don't know what this Borat is, but anyway. I'm too old. U.S. government can no longer be trusted to protect the internet from international power grabs, says Jeff Jarvis at CrunchGov. Guest blog post. This is interesting. Yeah. So, tell us what you're saying here.
No, it's pretty straightforward. There have been attempts to take over governance of the internet, right? Russia, Saudi Arabia, UAE, other wonderful bastions of free speech. At the last ITU, tried to put in a plan to demand equal governance. The United States gathered together Western countries and walked out. Well, problem now is...
Yeah, we don't have the moral high ground, do we?
We do not.
No.
We certainly do not.
Yeah.
And that's going to lead... John Naughton wrote a wonderful column, a wonderful post. He's an Observer columnist, saying just that we're going to end up with something far worse. And thank you very much, NSA. It's another impact of the NSA story.
Yeah, well, I think the more important impact is our relationship with our allies all over the world. This is always the problem when you act immorally or wrongly, is it hurts your reputation.
Yeah. Well, of course, we also just people look at us as stupid. When I was in Europe, I would apologize for being, I made it a joke, but I'd get like, hi, I'm from America, I'm sorry.
Yeah. I got to the point, I haven't had this problem lately, but there were years when I would say I was Canadian.
Oh, yeah.
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 I haven't had that problem lately. I might now
weird
again.
To see your byline on TechCrunch.
Yeah, it's kind of cool.
I know, isn't it?
It is kind of cool.
It's kind of nice,
but also a little weird.
I know.
I pegged you as a medium guy.
I'll do it. Well, I'm into a medium. Yeah, I'll do the Guardian.
He does it all, man. He does it all.
That's what I like about Jeff.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I got to learn your secrets for being prolific.
Writers are the original whores.
Yes, we are. Yes.
Jeff, how do you feel about that?
That's a terrible thing to say, and I take it back. I take it all back.
As opposed to TV people.
Yeah, no, there's nothing worse than TV people or radio people. Unless it's internet TV people, those are the worst. Or as Aaron Sorkin would call us, the pajama people.
Yeah, that was...
He continues on with his vendetta against the internet.
The list of there was a whole list of tweets of I think on the rap of why we all hate the internet, why we all hate the newsroom.
I could not finish it this time.
I fell asleep. The Guardian has asked me to write a piece about why I hate the newsroom. So I said, oh, crap, now you're going to make me watch the whole damn thing.
Oh, yeah, this is good. You're back to your old calling as a TV reviewer.
Yeah, so I started writing that now.
Now, I love Aaron Sorkin, and I love The West Wing, and actually was the only person in the world who loved Studio 60.
Oh.
I know.
Well, I wonder if we watched The West Wing today. Would we think it's as well?
Oh, I have watched it again recently. Well, only the first 4 years. Ironically, the Aaron Sorkin years. As soon as he left, the thing went downhill.
I like the newsroom. I think I have enough distance from how TV is made. I mean, I take it with a grain of salt, but I turn on closed captioning just so I can catch every line.
Yeah, they're really talking fast this new season. New season, it's bad. It's really
bad.
They
treat women terribly.
Oh, I know. Genius.
That is true.
Terribly.
That is true.
Yeah.
Yes, you're either a dithering fool or you don't know how to send an email. No, I agree. Right. That is true.
Olivia Munn cannot act to save her life.
Oh, it's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate.
That is unfortunate.
She's a nice person, but she's not an actor. And I think Aaron Sorkin's writing parodies of himself now.
Oh, it absolutely is. Absolutely is. But the reason I can't stand it is it tries to put a holier-than-thou patina on TV news, which is the absolute worst.
I know.
Of
I know.
What we call news.
I know. There is no, those conversations, those aren't happening. No network newsman ever called the Tea Party the American Taliban. It's not even credible.
No. They come into work and say, what? No trial? What the hell are we going to do today?
Yeah. Right, the Zimmerman trial's over. We got to do news.
Ugh.
Anyway, I don't know how we got into that. I was going to say our condolences.
From Memorex to Ella Fitzgerald to Aaron Sorkin.
I don't know how we got into that. But I was going to say condolences, of course, to Glee fans and Gleeks.
Oh,
I know that you were, Gina.
That was awful.
Yeah, very sad to hear.
Just heartbreaking.
That's that was terrible. That was terrible. That guy, I mean... Look, I'm going to be honest. He wasn't one of the strongest voices in the cast. But
he was the hunkiest guy on the cast.
He was. I mean, they managed to find a guy who was like read pretty straight to be the straight guy lead, which was really good.
Yeah.
And he, I don't know. He was a talented guy, and he had the world at his feet. But
it's very sad. Corey Monteith, of course, who played Finn Hudson on Glee, found dead Saturday in Vancouver.
But I didn't
he was only
know that
31
he was
years old.
31 years old.
They're now saying it was
hellish a childhood. Earlier addiction problems.
Yeah.
I didn't know that he was dating Lea Michele.
Rachel, who played Rachel. So their on-screen romance was going on. And they were supposed to move in together. It was very, very sad.
The apparently lethal combination of heroin and alcohol.
Yeah.
But he'd been having problems with drugs pretty much his whole adult life. It's very sad.
Yeah, he did his Inside the Actor's Studio interview
you
was very
telling.
Like, talked
tweet.
About,
yeah.
He talked about his struggles with addiction, you're always in recovery.
Open.
Yeah, he was very open, and you're always in recovery as anyone who has dealt
That's
with addiction.
Right.
It doesn't go away. It's not a problem that you solve and then put behind you.
Yeah.
So very sad.
You're right, Leo. We this show of all shows needs to pay a tribute.
Yeah.
To Corey.
Yeah, if the guy who invented Chipotle died, we'd say something. It's just, it's only right.
I wondered how you're going to create a transition out of this moment. There you go. That's why you're the pro.
Wasn't exactly elegant or... But that's all right. It doesn't have to be. It just has to get us on. Eric Schmidt says Google's relationship with Apple has improved. I don't know what he means by...
What?
He says these are two proud, well-run, different companies. He's talking at the billionaire conference. I would guess if you go to the Allen & Company, you must have been there, Jeff. You seem like the billionaire hobnobber. No?
Hey, no.
I think once you get to that level, it's all very collegial, right?
Yeah.
All the rich guys.
Larry wasn't there because he was at the wedding taking pictures.
Right. Mm. Right.
And this is the conference that he was seen with the Moto X, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Very blatantly carrying it around, using it.
Yeah, very lots of clear photos.
Yeah.
Just to drive, he said, "You know what? I'm going to drive Leo crazy."
Well, he had a phone. I don't know what it was. It's very attractive.
Not that
phone.
You know secrets about phones.
It's a beautiful looking.
It is.
It looks like who says on Elevate Android last night? We're saying it looks a little bit like an Apple, like a mouse. Like the back of it looks like the, the mighty is the mighty mouse.
I wonder what it feels like.
I wonder what kind of always on sensors it's got on. I wonder what kind of battery technology makes it go an entire week without ever dying. I wonder how it's going to dress me in the morning and make my breakfast.
I wonder how attractive the screen is.
I wonder how cheap it's going to be, what the marketing campaign is going to be like. That's a great face. Oh, he's going to blow. He's going to blow.
So here's some good news. The Pope is going to forgive sins via Twitter.
Oh, God.
Hey, how's that?
How about that for modern, huh?
Indulgences. It's not the Onion.
I didn't even know you could still get plenary indulgences.
I didn't either. I was proud to have seen them printed by Gutenberg.
Yeah. So, God, I'm stunned. You're a Catholic, Gina. Explain this.
I was raised Catholic. I went through 12 years of Catholic school, nuns, pleated skirts, the whole nine. And, you know, I saw this story.
Oh, that would have been so cute to see you in the pleated skirts.
It was not cute. It was not. There was nothing.
Oh, come on. It's kind of hot, actually, right?
Yeah, it is. The saddle shoes.
Get out of here. It's not. Listen, I was an all girls Catholic school. I can tell. Not hot. Okay.
Okay.
It was lots of girls who were not around. Who were not around boys. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, I saw the story, and there was a half of me that was like not at all surprised, and the other half of me that was like, "What are they thinking? People indulgence. Oh, it's so ridiculous."
Listen,
okay,
this is
I'm
the,
not going to go on my anti-Catholic.
This is the best quote ever, and this is. From Monsignor Claudio Mariacelli, the president of the Pontifical Council for Social Communication, he told a journal that's actually called the Sacred Apostolic Penitentiary, "You don't obtain an indulgence like you get a coffee from a vending machine. It is not enough just to watch a mass online or follow the Pope via live streaming on your iPad. Or by connecting to popetoyou.net." This is a quote. These are just devices. What really counts is the tweet that the Pope will send you from Brazil. That's what counts.
That it will produce genuine spiritual fruit in the heart of the person.
That's got to be a translation problem.
The Pope's tweets haven't grown any spiritual fruit in my heart.
The tweet from the Pope has produced a spiritual fruit in my heart.
When I was
Frutta
in Rome,
di Carona.
When I was in Rome, there was
your
a
Italian
priest.
Accent is really good.
It is pretty good.
Really good.
Gina knows it in her soul.
Oh my God. I'm not laughing. Every religion has its deep
absurdities,
powerful spiritual meaning, as well as often it's strange to the outsider traditions. I don't know though that tweeting really. Never mind.
Well, God tweets.
God, yeah, I love God's tweets. I read Jesus's tweets too.
Yeah.
Jesus H. Christ, he's the best tweeter. Or no, is he on? He's on Google Plus. Jesus H. Christ.
There's one on Twitter that I follow.
There is one Jesus on Twitter.
I do follow Jesus on Twitter.
We're going to hell.
Or maybe it's Almighty God.
Almighty God is on Twitter.
Yeah.
No, Almighty God is on Twitter, but I think Jesus H. Christ. Let me just, I think I circled him. I have him in the prophets circle. Let me see. Just, yeah, Jesus H. Well, actually, there's several Jesus H. Christ. There's two. I'm not sure which one I follow. This is, he works at the Big Man, lived in Rome, attended Jew school, it says. I don't think that's the one I'm looking for. Let's see if I can
The Almighty God on Twitter. I'm into creating universes, smiting people, writing holy books, and listening to prayers.
Yeah, there you go, baby. I'm sorry about all of this. There's quite a few. There's several.
It's me, Jesus, exclusively on Fiverr. You might recognize me from the Bible.
That's not him. Movie. That's not him.
Well, you'll see.
Come on, Chad. You're gonna send us all to downstairs. Good news. Just tweet the Pope, and you can get a plenary indulgence and spend less time in purgatory. By the way, that's what that's for. By the way.
Right, it's for spending less time in purgatory.
You're going to hell anyway. But, wait a minute. You're going to purgatory, not hell.
It's a temporary stop to heaven.
Purgatory is hell light.
I thought it was just sort of a pit stop.
No, that's limbo. You're thinking of limbo, where the babies go.
So it's the New Jersey Turnpike.
Babies go to limbo because original sin, you can't let them off the hook.
Right, but it's not really their fault.
Well,
so purgatory is being stuck between stations on the R line.
I think purgatory is hell light.
Oh.
Oh, you're right.
Where's Father Robert Ballister when we need him? We have an actual priest in our panel, on our stable.
Well, I think he might be putting pins in a voodoo doll of you right now.
No. Robert.
Purgatory is on the way.
That's one of the great things about Robert.
He's great.
He's relaxed. He's cool. He's calm. He's probably tweeting right now.
Only one who dies in a state of grace can be in purgatory, and therefore, no one who is in purgatory will remain there forever or go to hell.
So, if you die in a state of grace, you're going to go to purgatory because you get a little bit of punishment.
Yeah, you got to serve a little time.
You got to serve a little time, but you're going to go to heaven. You're not going to hell.
It's just a stop.
And so, the Pope can say. No, you don't have to go so long. I'm going to give you a plenary indulgence, just a little less, only a million years in purgatory instead of, 2 million or something.
So right. Who is the Martin Luther of the Twitter age? Yes.
I can't. The whole thing, the mixture of medieval superstition with Twitter is so bizarre.
It's unique.
It's just so bizarre. Because indulgences, that is a medieval. I believe that is a... later addition to the canon.
I was honored to see in Gutenberg Museum in Mainz the indulgences that were first printed on Gutenberg's presses, and then Martin Luther's tracts against them,
right?
Also printed on his presses.
Yes, it was one of the extremes of the Catholic Church that Luther was inveighing against.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I am not dissing anybody's spirituality or religion. I highly respect that. But you got to admit, some of these things are a little strange.
Yeah,
a little odd.
When I was in Rome at the Google event, there was a priest who was there who edits some major Catholic art culture magazine. I don't remember the name of it. Very, very nice guy. And so Vint Cerf is on stage, and he's talking about how we have to get more people on the internet. And he says, "I want to convert 4 billion people." And the priest says, "Me too."
That's great. Love it. Love it. Love it. Microsoft is suing U.S. Customs, saying, "You guys, you talked to Google, but you didn't talk to us." Apparently, Microsoft has a ban against phones made by Motorola. And the ITC, the International Trade Commission in Washington, issued the import ban May of last year. They decided that Motorola devices infringed a Microsoft patent for the way mobile phones synchronize calendar events with other computers. But they haven't been blocking the Motorola phones. The droids are still coming. By the way, I wonder if this has something to do with why Google's making the new phones in the U.S.
Oh, interesting.
Oh.
Possibly.
Interesting, huh? U.S. Great. Customs and Border Protection, according to Microsoft, had secret meetings with Google. I think the word secret is a judgment call. But they did talk to Google, and they decided to let the Motorola phones enter the country, even though Google has not removed the offending technology, Microsoft said. And Customs is ignoring its obligation based on secret discussions. This is in the Microsoft pleading. Google's response is, U.S. Customs appropriately rejected Microsoft's effort to broaden its patent claims to block Americans from using a wide range of legitimate calendar functions like scheduling meetings on their mobile phones We're confident the court will agree. And that's because there's now a lawsuit. The ITC order is in effect until Microsoft's patent expires in 2018. I think that could very well be why Google said, "Let's, you know what? Let's, we don't know how this is going to shake out. Let's just start making these phones in the U.S.
Where we get goodie points anyway,
right?
Right. Yeah, and it's a way to differentiate. You know, with the issues with Apple, you know, manufacturing overseas and say that made in the USA.
Right. No, I think it's a great thing. I think they should put the American flag on the back of whatever that is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's approved by the NSA too.
Yeah. Microsoft said that they had no idea that Google and Customs were meeting back in April until Customs in June 24th announced that they were going to allow the phones into the country. You know what? If I were Microsoft, I would be pissed. So I think you got some splaining to do. On the other hand, I'm not thrilled that Microsoft claims that, you know, we have to license synchronizing calendars from Microsoft.
Yeah.
That's how this stuff works. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to get your picks, your tips, your numbers coming up. But first, a word from 99 Designs. This is where you get your designs. If you're a company looking for great-looking assets, whether it's a menu for your business, a Facebook homepage for your business, maybe a new website, maybe a T-shirt, that's what we use 99 Designs for, digital marketing collateral, print marketing collateral, logos, mobile apps, 99 Designs can do it all. The way it works, you go to 99designs.com. They'll give you a great consultation with their San Francisco-based design team. And then you start a contest. There currently are 1,992 open contests. By the way, there are 238,183 designers on 99 Designs who are ready and willing to give you a design, to send you a spec, to say, this is what I think. You can work back and forth with them. Pick the designer, pay them, and get a great design from people who really know what they're doing. Last month, 99 Designs paid out $1.7 million to designers. $1.7 million? This is such a great idea. It's a marketplace for designers to get together with people who need good-looking art, whether it's a coaster, a book. Here's the deal. If you want to try this, we want to invite you to do so. Visit 99designs.com/Twig and get a $99 power pack of services absolutely free. You get more designer time with the power pack. 99 Designs will bold, highlight, and feature your design in their marketplace. That means you're going to get about twice as many designs, which is nice. We also have a toll-free number you can use if you prefer. 800-513-1678. That's just for Twit listeners. 800-513-1678. 99designs.com/twig. Try it out. Making the world look better one design at a time. All right, Gina Trapani, it's time for you and your tip of the week. By the way, Mailvelope, great tip. I just installed it.
Oh, you did install it?
Yeah.
Even though it had been hacked, but it's not very nice.
The hack, you have to give them physical access to your computer. I'm not worried about that. So that doesn't count.
Okay, good. Well, my tip this week is if you didn't make it to Paris this summer, or you're not going to, you can travel up to the top of the Eiffel Tower in Google Street View.
Even if you did make it to Paris, it's hard to get to the top of the Eiffel Tower.
It is, and it's crowded, and it's hot.
Gina, am I going to be scared of this?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Jeff, sorry, don't look. Google has added Street View imagery of the two main floors of the Eiffel Tower to Google Maps, and they also set up this... this whole site about the history of the Eiffel Tower with archival photos and some recordings and all the information about the Eiffel Tower that you could ever want. And that's actually, let me see, that
don't go too
that
far.
Address is, yeah, there's some imagery there from the top of the tower.
Oh, come on. Really, Jeff?
No.
The Google Cultural
Institute.
Let me hug
that beam.
If you go to google.com/cultural-institute/home, you'll see that there's a featured Eiffel Tower collection.
I love the Eiffel Tower.
It gives you all kinds of information
about the birth of the Eiffel Tower
and the plans and the inauguration, its first visitors. But if you just want to go to the top and see the view, you can do so in Maps. It's a little bit of a cloudy day, so not a lot of sun, but some really good imagery. And you don't have to stand in line or worry about your fear of heights, unless you're Jeff.
That is a long line in the summer anyway.
It is.
So, yeah.
I've been up there and it was wonderful, but it's a process.
There's restaurants up there too. You can get reservations to go to the restaurants up there. And I love. Well, I'm going to Paris in December for Le Web.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. One of my favorites.
Speak or broadcast or both?
Speak.
Oh, good.
Good for you.
Yeah, Loic just sent me an invitation.
I've always wanted to go to Le Web. The timing just doesn't work out for me. With
it's kind of a rotten time. It's December in Paris is not ideal. Have I showed you my picture from the Eiffel Tower?
No, let's see it.
There's something a little odd about it. Chad picked up right away on it.
Ooh, yeah, I did too.
That's real.
Good, Gina. Stay innocent, Gina, please.
She's looking.
I just got it.
It's oh, okay, you saw it? Oh, I'm so sorry.
Wow. It's a snap pea problem.
It's not on Google Maps, though. Don't worry.
Okay.
But that's why you don't want to go in the snow.
Okay. Good to know.
Those French.
They're just, it's probably Germans that did that, though. You realize. No French.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. German tourists. It's always the German tourists. Jeff Jarvis, your number of the week.
Well, I have two because the first one I have to deliver to Gina. I looked it up. It is a 15-day return policy.
Oh,
it is 15 days.
That's
yes.
a bummer.
I emailed it to you. You have to be.
No,
the
you're not. No, the one is a great days. Phone. There's nothing wrong with the one.
Oh, now when he's holding his new whatever it is, he's going to be rubbing it in on you, Gina.
No, I won't do that. I will not do that because a set-top box is not a good replacement for a smartphone. I'm just saying.
Gotta say, I really love the one so much. I think I'm going to hold on to it. And if I love the Moto X, I will find it in my development budget to purchase one.
There are things that the one does that. You really will not want to give up, I think.
Yeah. I really like the speaker to the front. I love it.
That's a great phone. As long as you're getting good battery life, and that's probably the Google Experience talking.
Yeah.
So what is your number then?
So Google, according to a story in ZDNet, based on a panel of HR people, tech companies, Google gets 2 million applications for 5,000 to 7,000 openings a year.
Oh.
I'd like to go to work for Google.
Wow.
That depresses me.
Would you take a job if Google offered you a job?
Certain jobs, yes.
Like if it were prestigious enough?
Well, no. Here's the thing about Google that fascinates me is that they actually are a company that's changing the world.
The world.
And
I agree.
Part of that
I agree.
Would be amazing.
Yeah,
I work in my ways to try to, pull up drowning newspapers and then get kicked for it and whatever I do now, that's fine, and try to give everything. But the idea of working for a company that's changing the world, that would be in some way that helps, that would be interesting.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I'm not applying yet. We're searching for a new dean for my school, so we can see.
Oh! Are you up for the job?
No, I didn't want to. Because if I were dean, I could no longer use the F word in Twitter. So.
Really? That seems so unfair. Pope, I understand, but dean?
Yeah.
Can you give plenary indulgences?
Only to you, Leo. Only to you.
You indulge a lot. You are indulging me right now. I know you are.
So some other numbers from this story. Half of Twitter's staff has been there less than a year. The median age of Twitter staff is 30. Cisco held a training session for Generation X managers of Generation Y employees, which I found amusing. And finally, I love this. Google held a Bring Your Parents to Work Day, and 5,000 showed up.
Wow.
That's really funny.
Isn't that
you
funny?
You can see it. Can't you see all the Googlers sort of like guiding their parents around campus? And their parents are like, I want to see this free gourmet food and these like massage areas and these nap pods.
Yeah.
So great.
That is really cool, actually.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Bring your parents to work day. Good God.
Man, maybe one of my kids will get a job at Google and
show me around.
Show me around.
The problem is, Leo, all the parents who went are younger than us.
Oh, that's depressing.
I brought Etta for my glass fitting, and I was like, it's your first visit to Google. You might work here someday.
Here's a fun little one. Ed Bott gave us, this is my tool of the week. Ed Bott gave us this when we were talking about privacy and so forth on Twit this week. It's privacyfix.com. And if nothing else, it's kind of interesting to learn how much you're worth to Google. So you install this. It's a Chrome extension, privacyfix.com. You can log into your Google account. You can see what websites are sharing data about you. You can see what tracking cookies you have. But the fun one, I think, and by the way, it gives me different results. Oh, that's because I'm not logged into my Google search. Here, let's log in. If I log into my Google search real quickly here, it tells you how much, based on what you information you give to Google, how much you're worth to Google. And in my case, it was like $54 a year. I don't know how accurate it is, but I think it's a very, it's a fun thing anyway.
Well, what's interesting about that is I've been arguing that media companies should follow the example of Google. And the problem for media companies is they don't know anything about you. So you're all kind of worth the same, and that's not very much.
Right, right.
So the fact that you can be worth more to them because they can target the advertising better and be more relevant and have more performance for those ads as a result, that's exactly what media companies should be doing.
And you can turn on various things. You know, it depends on how you feel about all of this stuff, but they've got a health bar, which you can enable. It'll tell you as you go to a site what that site's doing, what it knows about you, if you know, how it treats government requests and things like that. So it still thinks I'm only worth $16.37 a year. But I, damn it, I know I'm worth more than that.
I'm $63.24.
There you go.
Google makes about this much per year from ads at your level of activity. Interesting.
That's interesting, huh? And then there, you can turn off things if you wish. It gives you access to the inside to the Google dashboard where you can turn features on and off. Yeah, interesting. These per search revenue estimates come from a site called Trefis, T-R-E-F-I.
See, what should happen is somebody in the chat room raises the third-party cookies issue. What should happen is that A, media should learn to follow an example, and B, they should say that if you turn on ad blocking, here's how little you're worth to us.
Ah, that's interesting.
Mm. Bring up a conversation from last week. Here's how much you're
That's an interesting idea.
And here's how little you're supporting journalism if you use that stuff.
Yeah. I like it. Privacyfix.com is the website we mentioned. It's free to install and play with, and it's interesting. Yeah. Gina Trapani is at smarterware.org. That's her blog. She also, though, works on a lot of very interesting projects like todotext.com. Brand new version just came out a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
ThinkUp, which is a great Twitter analytic tool. And she's building a Raspberry Pi that will automatically diaper her baby.
Oh, my God. That'd be so great. I got to talk to Steve about that. Man, there's some diapers are no problem. Most diapers are no big deal. But, man, once in a while you get that really bad one.
Yeah, when it comes to babies, it's more pumpkin pie than raspberry pie.
Oh, man. You just really want a robot taking care of that. I try to make myself scarce when I suspect one of those is coming up.
Bye. Just, see you later. Bye-bye. You're dirty.
The greatest thing is the look of oomph and then satisfaction when the kid's done it.
I know. It's so cute.
Yeah,
it is kind of.
Abby used to go behind furniture.
Yeah.
I mean, she had a diaper on. She wasn't.
Right. Yeah, they go. It's instinct, right?
To kind of to hide
in a corner,
a little privacy. Please. It's cute. Babies are cute. Not as cute as cats.
Oh, I don't know. Kittens.
Kittens are cute.
And babies.
Kittens and babies. They go together, don't they?
Yeah, they do. They do.
Jeff Jarvis is at buzzmachine.com. That's where he blogs. Both Gina and Jeff Google Plus him. You got to circle him on Google Plus. Lots of great content. But buzzmachine.com. His books are many and available everywhere. Just search for Jeff Jarvis. The best, well, the newest is Public Parts. And then there's the Gutenberg the Geek, now in German. Gutenberg der Nerd. We're not making that up.
Nope.
And he is offering plenary indulgences on his Twitter account. As we speak. Thank you for joining us. We do This Week at Google every Wednesday, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 2100 UTC on twit.tv. You can watch live, but if you can't get here, Well, we do have audio and video on demand after the fact at twit.tv/twig or wherever you get your podcasts. So please subscribe. That way you won't miss an episode. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week on This Week in Google.